church. I have no microphone up here, Dennis. This is Brittany's. You can stand this evening. We're just going to start this off in prayer. So great to have you here with us on a Wednesday evening. And weathering out the winter one day at a time. And it's great to be in the house of the Lord tonight. So let's just start this off in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here together with my brothers and sisters, friends, family. Lord, we ask you that your hand would be upon this service, our worship, our preaching, and Lord, that we would be able to take in what you have for us this evening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated for a few moments. We're going to be going into a period of worship here. But if you're a guest of ours, I just want to welcome you once again to Calvary Gospel Church. And we want to connect with you. We have a number of different ways that we can connect out in our kiosk. We have a kind of a little check-in that you can take and fill out some points of information. We have a small gift. Sometimes it's a gift card to Starbucks for coffee or Quick Trip, I think, maybe, or Disney, family of four. You know, it just kind of depends on... Oh, yeah. But anyway, we just want to be able to take and connect. And we have some giving options, and those are on the screen behind me. You can give online, you can give in person, you can go by mail, or you can have our mobile app. A lot of you give online and such. So, but the ways you can give, and we appreciate the support of members and friends and family, Calvary Gospel Church. We have some events coming up this Friday evening. We have our all church prayer meeting, and that is at 7 o'clock. It usually runs about an hour, 7 to 8. And we welcome all of you here. It's a good chance or a good time to bring your families. And this is a good opportunity to teach your children how to pray. And the nice thing about our all church prayer meeting, it's very informal. So if your kids get a little bit rambunctious and rowdy, you can just get up and walk around. Feel free to walk around with them and pray, but it's just an opportunity to teach them. And we all had to learn at some point in life, and some of us are still learning, but nevertheless. So that's this Friday at 7. Then on Sunday, we have a connection fair. This is a little bit different from our normal Sunday schedules, but we're going to have our 10 a.m. Classes as usual. So we'll have our adult Bible class and our Sunday school. And then at 11 a.m., we're going to be starting our worship service, and we'll have a shorter service. We're going to end around 11:30. And then in our fellowship hall, we're going to have a number of booths set up. There'll probably be 35 to 40 different booths set up. You can kind of leisurely walk your way through, and this is different ways to connect here at Calvary Gospel Church. Different ministries will have booths set up, and I'm going to have a booth that I'm setting up. I'm going to be starting, I'm excited about this, a model railroad club here. Some of you are excited about it. I'm real excited about this, just a chance to get together with brothers and sisters and just explore and enjoy the hobby. And I like to cook, too, so I'm thinking about maybe a barbecue club. Yes. At some point in time. And then, you know, maybe koi, if you have koi ponds. How many of you like koi fish? Maybe I'm the only one here. But, well, anyway, it's just a way, if you have various interests, you can connect. So you can sign up. We have like kayaking and biking and all kinds of different clubs, camping and such. So that'll be Sunday, and we're going to have some awesome Chicago-style hot dogs. Brother Ty Haight is a tremendous hot dog connoisseur. Maybe so. I'm not for sure what you would call that, actually. But anyway, so that will be right after service, and it'll go until around 1 o'clock or so. And with that, That's our announcements, what we have wrapped up. Brother Peter's going to be speaking here shortly, starting our family series. So our worship team is ready to, Sister Brittany. So if you'd like to stand and worship, come down to the front, whatever you're comfortable with. If you want to sit, you're welcome. You don't have to stand, but God bless you. And just let God fill you up tonight.
For your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head to rest, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, I will sing of the goodness of God. So, so good. With every breath that I am made, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running. It's running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running. Of the goodness of God. So my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, I will see of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and I'll shout it out from the mountaintops. Yes, the glory of your name, 'cause there is We surrender, Jesus. Your grace for me is always enough. And there is no one higher than our God. Amen. And there is no one greater than you, Lord. Let my life forever praise the glory of your name. 'Cause there is no one higher than you.
Let's just give him some praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. There is nobody higher than you, God. We praise you tonight, God. We lift you up tonight, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. How many people were here? Oh, how many weeks ago was it? We were over there on the other side. We're sitting on the plastic chairs for the first part of our family series. Let me ask you this way. How many people were not able to make it or maybe had to watch online or something? How many people weren't? It's okay. You're not getting in trouble. We got a couple people. Okay, so most of you were here a couple Wednesdays ago. Okay, so we're doing something this year. Family Ministries is doing a family series, a family focus for the year. Okay? And if you can get the first slide started, I think I could take it from there with this fancy clicker. We're starting something different. We're starting a series. And it started because my wife and I have been, you know, the kids are involved, you know. We got karate now and soccer and volleyball and all these different things. And you start to see these families, you know, and they literally, like, you show up to the softball game and they have the coolers and the chairs and the tents. It's like Pastor Roy took his backyard and brought it to a softball game. That's what it looks like. And it's like, wow, this is big to these people, right? And that's cool. Softball's great. I love softball. We're going to do it again this year. We learned some lessons, like you got to take it a little bit more important, right? They took it really seriously. And my wife and I were thinking, like, softball really is life to these people. You see the people that are into working on their cars. This is life. This is what we do. And you see the stickers on the back of cars. Football is life. Sewing is life. You know, whatever. Maybe there's not a sewing is life sticker. And it got us thinking, like, there's so many things that vie for us at our attention. There's so many different ways to live life. And yet, we're all kind of just stumbling around blindly doing the same thing. And here in the church, if I could say it, we have the same problems as the people in the world. There's just the depression and anxiety and fear and worry, just like everywhere else. And so it couldn't help but wonder, maybe the way we're doing things is a little bit backwards. Maybe there's a different way to do it. And so our text for the whole series for the year is from John 14:6. And it says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we started thinking, if Jesus is the way, let's start seeing what his word has to say. Maybe we can find this way of doing things in his word. And so the series that we're going through, oh, here we go. It's called The Way is Life. All right? He said, I am the way. This is really sensitive. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the way of Jesus is life, and it brings life everlasting, and it brings life more abundant, right? And so last week, we had our first, let me start over. The series goal of this series is to equip men and women to lead their families to a life focused on Jesus. He said, I am the way, so let's focus on Jesus, by providing resources, examples, and opportunities. The structure is that we'll have four focuses, one per quarter. So the focus this quarter is priorities and boundaries. That's January, February, March. Then we'll be talking about spiritual discipline, service and community, and becoming a priest. The structure is, you can't read these, these are tiny little words, but essentially it's once a month on a Wednesday night, Pastor Roy has asked us to speak, so we speak and we share the lesson for that month. We will have a family sharing in prayer, we're calling it, once a month, usually on a Saturday. In fact, we have our first one in like 4 days, so no pressure. I'm going to be there with my family because the idea is not that this is some fancy event. There's no food served. There's no agenda. We're literally going to be here. We probably bring a couple games and maybe that thing they ride around on that rolls around because there's nice flat spaces outside there, right? And we're just going to be here to hang out. And if you want to be here to hang out on Saturday night, show up sometime after 5:30. That's when we'll be here. You can come hang out with us. You might hear us talking about the series and what we're trying to learn in our own lives. And hopefully we spur on some conversations. But it's just, we're calling it an opportunity for community. So, also, there'll be an opportunity starting in March to serve somewhere in the community. We're going to offer that up for people to say, hey, here's a way to serve. But really, it's also just trying to get things into our homes and away from the pulpit. We still need the pulpit. We still need Pastor Roy. We still need what he's preaching to us. But it's about getting it home. And so last week, the first lesson of the whole year was called ownership. And the basis of that lesson comes from Deuteronomy 6:4. Jessica, this thing is, I'm hitting one button, it's going two slides, so if you guys think I'm crazy, I am. It says, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You will love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And then it says in verse 6 through 9, this is interesting. Look at the highlighted words. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. But too often, we are looking for it to say, Pastor, repeat them to my children. Pastor, talk about them when I'm here. Pastor, when I go home, I'm going to listen to you speak on my radio. That's what we're looking for. We look for the school systems to teach our kids mentally. We're looking for mentors to teach us emotionally and spiritually. But this starts at home. And the first way that we are going to follow God's way of doing things is that we are going to start taking ownership of our lives. You don't got to be a mom or dad to pay attention here, just so you know. You could take ownership for your own life. You don't got to wait for some school or some mentor or some fancy preacher or some YouTube video to teach you what to do. You can start taking ownership of this. The church is here to help, to provide options. We're like a shepherd, right? Pastors, shepherds. We're here to help you find water and help you find food and show you how to eat and drink the water and the food. But the growth happens daily at home when you actually apply this. And so the lesson for us is that, and there's always going to be a one line for every one of these, ownership. We are responsible for the growth of our family or ourselves. We are responsible. So next time when I bring this up, you guys can repeat that back to me. Hopefully we all know it. We are responsible for the growth of our family, spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally. This week or this month, the lesson is called Eliminating Hurry and Distraction. So for the quarter, we're talking about priorities and boundaries. We talked about taking ownership, right? Now we're talking about eliminating hurry and distraction. These series have come through different, just time studying God's word. Casey and I have had discussions we've had, books we've read. And so there are some things in here. I'll try to give credit wherever I can. I'm a big fan of that. I don't want to cheat anybody out or for you guys to think, well, Peter's really wise. No, that was this guy that wrote it. And so there's a couple of books that have really influenced, I'll say, this conversation, and I'll note them. And if you want to know, you can ask me later too. But The Man in the Mirror by Patrick Morley, I'm a big fan of that. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. Scattered by Dr. Gabor Mate. I'm ashamed to say The Chosen by Dallas Jenkins. And the Bible is where there's so much of this. As you're reading the Bible, this starts to speak to you, and you say there's something different. And so I just want to give them credit before we go into this because there's some of that woven in here. I think it's important to note that. So February, eliminating hurry and distraction. And so the lesson is we can slow down and be more present. Let's have some fun with some surveys. The average time spent on social media each day. Anybody want to guess? Too much? Who said that? 2 hours and 27 minutes. 2 hours and 27 minutes. How about the number of times you pick up your phone? Pick it up. Over 9 a waking hour. It's like 160 for the average person. But some people, depending on where you look, and I found a lot of these statistics online. I didn't do these surveys myself. And there's like ranging values, but I tried to find the ones that have good sources. The average American checks their phone 159 times a day. 7 in 10 people surveyed said they would feel depressed, panicked or helpless if their mobile device was lost or stolen. 7 out of 10 would feel, I know that's none of you. That would, we would never, we don't, where is my phone? No, I'm just kidding. Constant use of cell phones, said in this report, satisfies your hungry neurons with positive feedback of constant connectivity. We're just urging or craving this constant connectivity. You can see the trend here as the years go on, as the quarters go on. It's been pretty flat here in the last three or four quarters, which is about 2 years at the end. We average about 2.5 hours. It's pretty standard of social media time. How about this? What's the average time spent on Facebook? Now, that's part of the 2 hours and 27 minutes. So social media would be like Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, the things you're scrolling through all the time. You think there's no way I do 2 hours and 27 minutes, but you know when you go to bed at 9 and you fall asleep at 11:30, you know where that 2.5 hours went. It's okay. So how many times or how much time spent on Facebook? 31 minutes. I didn't realize how small this was going to be, but the average American spends 24 hours a month on YouTube, 18 on WhatsApp, 11.2 on Instagram, 19.6 on TikTok. If it's, this is the app you use, it's not like you use all these apps. You're going to look at, oh, Peter, I don't use WhatsApp, so that doesn't apply to me. Fine, you're using YouTube. Okay, so the average time spent watching TV, movies, or streaming for 15-year-olds and up. Now, this doesn't count towards the 2.5. Daily. 2.86 hours per day. Now, a fun fact here. Did somebody get that right in the back? Were they right on? 2.86 hours. Fun fact is the average American, and I'm not going to divide it between men and women because it makes us men look bad, but the average American spends about 5.3 hours a day doing leisure activities. And I think we could add that up, 2.8 plus 2.3. We're getting pretty close. 2.5, sorry, 2.8. We're pretty close. I see how it works. At 2.86 hours a day, that's 86 hours a month, 1,029 hours a year. And if you can live to be 78 years old, which is the average life expectancy of a man, that's a man, that is 8 years of your life. 2 hours and 86 hours per day. 2.86 hours per day, sorry, is 8 years of your life. A team of researchers wanted to learn how much time middle-class fathers spend playing and interacting with their small children. This was done by, I can't remember the doctor's name, but Dr. James Dobson is quoting this man. They asked a group of fathers to estimate the time spent with their one-year-old child every day. They asked them, they just asked a group of men, what do you think the men said? Most men were, it felt like they were pretty honest. They were 15 to 20 minutes spent with their one-year-old. That's pretty good. Except they said, hold on. Let's put little mics on them and let's review them for a month and see how much time it really was. Do you know what it really was? The average time a man spent with his one-year-old child was 37 seconds. Interacting with their child. Hey, Dan, have I started the fire yet? No, don't leave yet, Dan. Don't leave. 15 to 20 minutes is what they said, but the actual average time was 37 seconds of like real, not like, hey, I'm changing your diaper and wiping your stuff. It's like actual spending time interacting with their one-year-old. They didn't check for women, so that's the data. Their direct interaction was limited to 2.7 encounters per day. This report says that, so it seems, represents the contribution of fatherhood for millions of American children. How much time do you think the average set of parents spends per day caring for their kids? All day? It feels that way. This is kids' ages that are in school, 6 to 12, right? And now I got to move this because I can't read it on the big screen. 6 to 12. The top one is caring and helping with the household for children. For women, it was 1.2 hours a day, and for men, it was 0.7. And if you look farther down the chart, the second group right there is physical care for the household children, reading to and with household children. That's like barely 5 or 10 minutes. Playing with household children, not sports, not like taking them to a soccer game, is less than 0.2 hours. And the amount related to education for children is 0.3 for women and 0.1 for men. 0.1 for a 60-minute hour is 6 minutes. So let's think about it a little bit differently. How much time do you think we spend on a screen for does an 8 and 12-year-old child spend on a screen in a day? It probably is a little skewed because they're in school, right? So, my kids are in school, and sometimes they have their tablets, so that counts. 4 to 6 hours per day they spend on a screen. And teens spend 9 hours per day on a screen. Let's change topics. The average American, the percentage of Americans who work 40 hours per week, that work more than 40 hours per week, is 54%. And the Americans working greater than 50 hours per week is 22. Working more than 10-hour days is associated with a 60% jump in cardiovascular issues. And working more than 40 hours per week is associated with increased alcohol and tobacco consumption, weight gain, and relationship problems. Go figure, when I'm at work and not with my wife, we have relationship problems. Who would have thunk? In our society, we equate a sense of busyness with worth. If we are busy, we must be doing something right. In fact, there was a quote that I didn't put in here where the guy said, he's like, Americans would be a lot less busy if they stopped walking around talking about how busy they are. It's like this badge of pride we put on ourselves. Oh, look at me, I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm doing all this stuff. And yet, how much time do you think the average American spends in prayer? So where does all this busyness leave us? This busyness with I'm so busy, but somehow I'm watching 4 hours of stuff. I'm so busy, but I'm doing all my hobbies. I'm so busy, and I'm working 60 hours a week, and I'm doing ministry. Yeah, let's throw that in there. I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And where does all this busyness leave us? Where does this avoidance and distraction leave us? Multiple studies have found a strong link between heavy social media use and an increased risk for depression, anxiety, loneliness, self-harm, and even suicidal thoughts. Go watch an interview on YouTube about the creator of TikTok. TikTok has a different program in America than it does in China. In America, they let you watch as long as you want and anything you want. In China, the country where it was created, kids are allowed to watch 40 minutes a day. And it has to be educational. It's totally filtered. Maybe related, maybe not related. Recently, they did a survey of Chinese children and American children. And what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you think American children want to be? Influencer! What do you think Chinese children want to be? Astronauts. I listened to a podcast by the Wall Street Journal, and it talked about the Facebook files, you know, where Facebook released all that data, or it got released on accident. You find out about all the stuff, and you find out that Facebook knew about the damage that Facebook and Instagram were doing to young girls. It was causing anxiety, depression, eating disorders, bipolar disorder. They knew about it, and they did nothing. And so this busyness in our lives, whether, I'm not here to rag on social media. It's not social media's problem. It's how we are choosing to spend our time. Even if it's in my garage, if it's in my basement, if it's playing games, if it's playing video games, it's how I spend my time. And then I'm like, I'm so busy, I don't have time for anything. And so this busyness in my life leads to stress, fatigue, sleep problems, headaches, and stomach issues, all other things too. It leads to lack of time, though, with my family, with my friends, and with God, having detrimental effects on relationships. So can we today say that maybe this way isn't working? Maybe this idea of saying, look how busy I am. Look at how much I'm getting done, Pastor. Look at how many ministries I'm involved in. Look at how much stuff I got done in my basement. Look at these all these videos I watched at night, right? I'm so busy. Maybe this way isn't working for us. Maybe this way of spending our time and our energy on the immediate is bringing long-lasting and eternal negative results. It would be one thing if we all did this and everybody felt happier and more content, if they felt joy and their lives were full, but it's pretty clear that's not the case. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I think we could all raise our hands and say, how do you feel when you spent the week watching things? I'm not even talking whether it's bad or good. You could spend your whole week watching The Chosen and it still can be a waste of time. This is so vastly different than the way that Jesus did it when he was on earth. It's so vastly different than what we see in Jesus Christ. And so we have to ask ourselves, maybe there's a different way of doing it. As I go through the New Testament, and as I'm reading some of those books I mentioned to you, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry and The Man in the Mirror, I'm reading through the Bible, I'm reading some of these books, and they're specifically focusing on the life of Jesus, and I see him doing life differently than the way we're doing it. His way of doing things is once again so different from our way. So backwards from this socially and acceptable way, this societal way that we see. His way, the way he shows is uncomfortable to those who try it. So maybe let's read through some verses at the Gospels and look at it from a different perspective. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place. And there he was praying. In Luke 4:42, which is the same story, he expounds a little bit differently. He said, but the crowds were searching for him. They came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. He was pressed. He was pursued. Lots of things wanted his attention. Lots of distractions. But he said, I got to get alone. I need some time of silence. I need some solitude. I need to spend time with my Father. Luke 5:15 says, but the news about him spread even more, and large crowds would come together to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. Yet he often withdrew to deserted places and prayed. Hold on, this isn't the Jesus we were told about. He was out there doing awesome things. Yeah, he was. But pretty much every time you read about that, you read about him going out to be on his own, to pray, to spend time in silence, in solitude. Matthew 14:13, when Jesus heard about it, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. I thought about this. I thought about the loophole. I'm always looking for loopholes. And so I think some of you are out there saying, hey, I'm alone too. Yeah, and you're playing video games, okay? That doesn't count. I'm just kidding. I'm alone, yeah, and I'm watching YouTube videos in my car. No, doesn't count. He went away to be alone, to be in silence, in solitude, and talk to God. You can read about it so many other places. In John 6:15, it says he went away, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. That's mentioned in both Gospels, Matthew and Mark as well. In Luke 9:18, it says he was praying alone. In Luke 9:28, it says he took with him Peter and John and went up into the mountain to pray. In Matthew 26, in Gethsemane, it says three different times he left to go be by himself to pray. Jesus chose to be alone. Jesus chose to go to a desolate, deserted place. He chose to spend time in silence and solitude, a place without distractions. Some refer to it as a lonely place. He did this at major and important events in his life. He did it regularly. It was just part of who he was. This is who I am. I need to spend time away. I need to get away from the rush and the craziness. I need to slow down. I need to make things more simple in my life so I can be with my Father. And so we have to ask ourselves, we claim to be Christians, followers of Christ. We want to be his disciples. We're apostolic, which means we follow what the apostles did, right? He gets it. We follow what the apostles did, what Jesus did in the Gospels. And yet, this is not the same thing. If we are to be his disciples and his followers, his students, the book by John Mark Comer, he calls us his students, we're following him. He's a rabbi, he's a teacher. If we're going to follow what he did, then we should strive to be like, to be with Christ, to be like Christ, and to do what he did. That's what following the teacher is. I liked how he worded that, so I totally stole that from him, from this book, John Mark Comer. Our goal is to be with Christ, to be like Christ, and to do what he did. And so we read all these stories about him doing it, and yes, he did grab Peter and John one time, the obvious favorite disciples, right, Brother Seidel? Peter and John. But in Mark 6, verse 30, it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. That sounds like three nights of my week. We're just trying to get the food down because life is just so busy. And I'm done carrying the badge of being proud of that. Jesus commanded them to pray. He said, I want you to pray. But he didn't just say that. His way was like, I want you to pray for those who abuse you. I want you to pray for those who persecute you. I want you to pray for the harvest, that people would be brought into the church. Oh, and I want you to pray without trying to be noticed. I want you to pray always. And when it doesn't seem like it's going to work, don't give up. Keep praying. Even those five lines I read are so different than what we like in society. Oh, but they treated me bad, Pastor Roy, Pastor Peter. They treated me bad. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. We read in Matthew 6. That's really small. I will get that better next time. I'll read it for you. We read in Matthew 6, 19 through 24. You know this verse, but don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where you spend your time, there your heart will be. Where you spend your energy and your resources, there your heart will be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. What you let into your life, the things you're looking at, the things you're watching, that's what will define who you are. If I'm watching stuff to keep me busy, I'm just going to be busy, and I'm not going to be connected to my Father. In verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. He is telling us that tomorrow doesn't matter. He will worry about tomorrow. We are to worry about spending time with him, to get to know him, to get to know his way, his kingdom. And so the suggestions of following Jesus as you read through the Gospels and the four points that were in this book, and I recommend it. Go ahead and read it. It's a good thing there's also a podcast, but was Jesus focused on four things. Go read through the Gospel. Tell me if this isn't true. Silence and solitude. We just read all those verses. He focused on the Sabbath. He focused on resting, taking a day of rest. He focused on a simple life. He's like, don't worry about what's coming. He said, don't even take anything. I'm going to send you out two by two. Don't take anything with you. The Father will take care of it, right? And he worried about slowing down. He was always slowing down. You think, well, this is the Bible. You know, Peter, this is not going to work for me. You know what? This applies to outside of spiritual world. If you go to a conference and learn how to be more effective and productive in your job, whether you work in the office or the field, or Pastor Roy, we're talking about like plumbing, right? They say the best thing you can do every day is take the first 15 minutes of your day and plan your day. Oh, but that's 15 minutes and I'm not getting work done. But we know from construction, right? If you take that 15 minutes and figure out, okay, I need these fittings. I'm going to run this amount. I'm going to need this drill. And you bring it all in. Then you're not going out to your truck 20 times, hopefully, right? And you just save that time. If you're in your office and you're doing paperwork and running through help tickets or whatever it is, you say, this is my plan for the day. This is when I'm taking lunch. I have a phone call or a meeting here. And you think through your day, you're always more efficient. They also say to take an hour every week at the beginning of your week and plan your week. Hey, that's a little thing for spouses. You should try that. It's really good. The people that aren't even Christians say their lives are much smoother and much simpler and much more calm when they spend time meditating. I know it's a weird word. It is in the Bible, though. When they spend time meditating and sitting and just thinking. I'm just going to think about what's going on. People see the benefit of journaling and spending time with your thoughts. And so it's not just a Christian thing. It's not this thing where God's like, hey, this works. It's this idea that if we will follow the principles of God, of slowing down, of spending more time with him, of trying to be less busy, our lives will be more abundant, more full. But in society today, people are trying to medicate their thoughts with distraction. People are trying to remove the difficult situation or person instead of facing it. We see it in schools. Oh, this kid did this to my kid. Teacher, you better do something. Get that out of there. Instead of saying, well, the Bible says, I've got to teach my kid how to turn the other cheek. That is not popular. That is not the way you do things in this city. But it is the way that Jesus wanted to do it. For some reason, we do not and cannot spend time with our thoughts. That's a whole lesson right there. But I would propose to you, the reason we don't like to spend time with our thoughts is because we don't like how we think about ourselves. We've been avoiding those thoughts for years. We've been avoiding that trauma for years. We've been avoiding these issues and these lies in our life for years. And it's just so much easier to drown it in work, to drown it in media, to drown it in tasks, to drown it in ministry, that we never have to face it and we never have to grow. Another quote, a lot of our busyness is a way for us to avoid thinking about what is most important. There's a difference between being busy and being productive. I really like the front part of that. A lot of our busyness is a way for us to avoid thinking about what is most important. But we need to spend time with our thoughts. We need to spend time with Jesus, processing our thoughts with him. That's I kind of look like that as prayer. It's not just going to God and be like, God, heal and touch and anoint my pastor. You know, God, touch the leaders in this church. God, you know, I want to see revival. It's also, hey, God, my brain is thinking this. What's going on with me today? Help me to understand this. And you know what? Every single time I do that, he tells me right away in the, no. But it's through prayer after prayer after prayer where I'm opening my heart to God and saying, God, I don't know why I keep doing this. What is going on in my heart? God, I'm going to repent and remove the garbage. And God says, here we go. I'm going to take you through some things. You're going to go through a little pain. You're going to go through a little humility, but you are going to learn what is that thing. You start asking God what he wants to change in your life, and you'll start finding pain and humility. And if you'll face it, God will change you. We need to spend time in silence and solitude, reading God's word, praying, meditating on what it says. We need to have times of quietness, of listening, of being present. Why do you think so many times in the Bible, Jesus said, remain in me, abide in me, rest in me. Come to me, all you who are weary, and you will find rest. Do it my way. And you'll find rest. All those are all about finding this place and being with God. We need to slow our lives down. We got to work on being more present. And that might mean taking a little hit to the pride and saying, hey, I'm not going to wear the 55-hour-a-week badge of courage anymore. It might mean saying, you know what? There's some times where I just need to sit and cherish my children. Yeah, but we're not doing anything. We're not getting anything done. Nope, but I'm going to sit and cherish my children. We're just trying to start to maybe potentially learn that one. We're just getting going on that one. Just cherishing my, but that's a waste of time. You know what? No, it's not. We need to slow our lives and remove things or move things so there is time for slowness, silence, solitude, and simplicity. Because it is in these moments that God can speak to us. It is in these moments that we can be changed. It is in these moments that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. But you will not be transformed by the renewing of your mind when you're just letting videos into your eyes. Me and Ty, we talk about podcasts we like to share. And there's some great stuff, right, that we really like listening to. And it's great. Listen to it on the way in so I don't have to hear about the sports news and the horrible games that happened last weekend, right? Yeah, right? So we talk about that, but I'm not going to be transformed just by listening to it or watching it. I'm going to be transformed by spending time with Jesus. You're not going to be transformed by listening to me. You're going to be transformed by what you do when you leave here tonight. I don't know who this guy is, but he's got to get the credit. So he said, you will never find time for anything. If you want time, you must make it. Chris Carpenter gave me a little chip. I got it in my house. It's a little chip, and it's you. When you read it, you don't see what it says right away, but it says round, and then it says T-U-I-T. It's a round to it. He's like, well, now you have a round to it. So if you ever said, I'll do it when I get around to it, you have one. Right? It's just an excuse we use. It was really funny. Thank you, Chris. It's an excuse we use. If I want time, I have to make it, which means I have to start thinking about where I'm spending my time. You're probably not like all those people with the 2.86 and the 2.27s and the 5.3s that you don't look at your phone 151 times a day. I'm sure that's none of you. But as we read this, it seems we have two options. It seems we can neglect this way of doing it, the way Jesus did it, the slowing and silence and solitude and simplicity. We can neglect that. We can make excuses, get sucked into the rat race, and face emotional, unhealthy, and at best, spiritual oblivion at worst. Or we can try it the Jesus way. And we can slow down and be more present. We can slow down and be more present with God, with our spouse, with our children, with our friends, with our jobs. We can slow down and be more present. That's February. Eliminating hurry and distraction. We do this by slowing down and being more present. Be in the moment. That's one of the things I've really focused on with prayer. I've really focused on with prayer. I want to be intentional. I want to be present. And I want to be honest. That's what I look at. If I'm doing those three things, then prayer is going well for me. Intentional means I'm making it a priority. I'm saying, like, I'm actually doing this. This isn't in the shower. This isn't in my car. This is an intentional moment of prayer. Present means when I'm there, my phone is not there. Present means I am constantly having to bounce back to God, but I'm going back. Okay, God, I'm thinking about work now. Nope, I'm starting over. God, I'm going to pray. I'm being present in prayer. And honest means I'm telling God what's in my heart. Good, bad, right, wrong. He knows it anyway. And so we have two options. Like I said, we can neglect Jesus' way of doing it and end up just the way you are now. Busy, and if you'll admit it to yourself, maybe not all that happy. Or we could slow down and be more present. So what's the homework for this month? The next time we meet is I'll send it out, but it's like a month from now, early March, first Wednesday of March, okay? And so here's the homework. This is what I want you to do. I can't make you do it, right? We talked about this. I can show you where the water is. I can tell you how to drink it. I can't make you drink it for you, okay? This is my challenge for the week, for the month. So, to create a time journal for you and or your family. So, like me and my wife, we'll each do our own, and then some of those will overlap. A time journal would categorize how much time I spent on different categories each day. So let me give you an example. Yes, thank you, Kirby. Everybody pull out your phones, take a picture of this, take the notes down. I wasn't going to cut down a tree at the last minute so everybody could have a piece of paper that's all going to end up on the floor anyway. Y'all use your phones, okay? This gets 152 to open your phone and do this, okay? Categories, how much time? So for me, let me give you an example. Let's say I wake up at 4 a.m. I'd say from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m., I'm getting ready for my day. Or 4 a.m. to 4:30, I could say from 4:30 to 5, maybe I'm praying. From 5 to 5:30, I'm driving to work. These aren't exact times. I'm just giving you a round. From 5:30, I'm working all day long. That would probably include lunch, but I'll probably put in there, hey, I took a lunch from 12 to 12:30. Or some people, they say, hey, on my lunch, I go spend some time in prayer. Put that on there. I spent a half hour walking around my school or wherever I was in prayer. I spent 20 minutes, 10 minutes. It doesn't matter, right? I got home. I spent 10 minutes goofing off with the kids, 20 minutes making dinner. We spent 20 minutes cleaning up dinner, 30 minutes going through the showers, 20 minutes on family Bible study, 20 minutes getting kids to bed, an hour cleaning up the house. This does not sound fun. Whose life is this? An hour cleaning up the house, and then my wife and I crash. Oh, it's our life. My wife and I crash like into the couch like, okay, let's talk. And then we scroll on our phone for 2.27 hours. And so write that down every day for 2 weeks. And then when you're done, look at it. It doesn't, you might feel a little shame or embarrassment. It is what it is. You're already doing it. Let's think about it, right? Let's spend some time. Okay? So ask yourself some questions at the end. And if you're doing this as a couple, work it together. Ask yourselves these questions. And you might have better ones or more, right? For each day, looking back, why did you make the choices you did? Is there anything you would change? Is there time that you think you could have if you change some things around? And here's the bonus challenge. I'm going to try this. I don't usually do this, okay? The bonus challenge is when you and or your spouse get home, or if you're single, or whatever, leave your phone by itself somewhere. Until after the dishes are done and dinner's made and you've got your homework done, youth, right? Until everything's good, and then pick it up. Or maybe leave it there and go to bed. But either way, and then pick it up and see if you have some more present moments with your family. Maybe you could take that 151 times we open it down to like 142 because you don't open 9 times with your family. This is the homework for the next month, but you only got to do it for 2 weeks. And so we will have, I believe it's March 25th is a Saturday, if I got that right. March 25th, we'll do the same thing, family sharing and prayer. It'll be here at the church. No agenda. But if you want to come and share, be like, this is what we found. Oh, yeah, man, I definitely am in the 2.27. I got to think about that. And just have conversations. It's an opportunity for community. And so here's the reminder. Quarter one, priorities and boundaries. January was ownership. We are responsible for the growth of our family. February, eliminating hurry and distraction. We can slow down and be more present. You notice there's a lot of we are and we cans. It's not a I'm waiting for somebody. These are positive statements you can tell yourself. And then next month, Sister Jessica's going to be teaching on focusing as a family, family focus. And the lesson is we'll find out next month. Can you stand with me tonight as the musicians come? The whole goal of this year as a family, as our family, is to try things differently because the results we've had maybe aren't the results we've wanted. I want to feel more joy in my life. I want to feel more peace in my life. I want to feel more of the Holy Ghost moving and seeing fruit in my life. And so I've been around 41 years. It's not very long to some of you. It's really long to others of you. But I feel like maybe there's some things I can do a little bit differently and try to follow a different way of doing things that will produce a life more abundant in my life. I know it's challenging. I know it's not easy. I think when he said, my yoke is easy, sometimes I think, this has never been easy for me, God. It's been difficult. But then I compare that with the verse where he says, the road to hell is wide and easy. There's not a lot of turns. You know, you're just kind of working your way there. You're just like cattle just getting slaughtered. Like, here we go. We're going this way. Like zombies, right? The road to heaven is narrow. It's difficult. Not a lot of people want to choose that road. It's got the best location that you're going to. But man, does it. It's not very easy. And so when he talks about the yoke being easy, he's like, if you do it my way, which is difficult for your flesh, for the way that your body wants to do it, but if you do it my way, your life will be easier. You got to get over that hump. This is where faith comes in. Faith comes in saying, okay, I'm going to take a step. I'm going to start doing it your way, God. My way is bringing about negativity, anger, fear, depression, anxiety. My way is bringing about stomach issues and headaches and really not a relationship with you. And so the invitation tonight is to find your family, whoever's here. And if you don't have a family, come down by yourself. I've been there. I've been to churches in the Middle East. I was in churches in California. I was in churches in Iowa. I didn't know anybody. And they'd call the families down. I just went down and prayed by myself. That's okay. I understand. Find a place to pray with your family. Ask God to show you the things he wants to do in your life. And start thinking about how we can start to slow down and be more present and be like Jesus. This area is open. I encourage you, come pray.
You are worthy.
Little Isaiah told me that he noticed that one of them says Lego is life on there. I said that was for Pastor Phil. I love all you guys. It's exciting to see what God's going to do in this church and in our families as we start to follow His way of doing things. I'm going to turn this back, so if you didn't get a picture, you can, of the homework. Last announcement before you go. Don't forget the Connection Fair next Sunday, right after church. Come for the Connection Fair or come for the hot dogs. Either way, come hang out. God bless you. Have a great night.